welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 30, an audio only version this week. This is what I'm going to try and do moving forward to help with the regularity. It's a lot easier to put audio episodes together. This one is going to be a post Wembley Widnes whinge, is how I've dubbed it to a friend of mine who I was talking about earlier. No, I'm just going to reflect on the 1895 Cup final defeat to Sheffield. Talk a bit more about the match. We've got an interview with Kieran Pertl, thanks to Adrian Jackson for that one, so that'll come in the middle of this show. Please do leave any comments, questions, suggestions on any of the platforms that we're on, so Audio Boom, iTunes, Spotify. Please do leave a review, actually, on iTunes and Spotify. That'd be great. And I know a few fans have been keen to come on, but not so keen to appear on video, so now that I'm going to do it audio only, if you do want to come on and join in with the debate with myself in future weeks, then please do. Thanks as always to sponsors PD Law Solicitors, Musical All Sorts, Arnold Gorse, Financial Management and Deals the Jewellers. Shout out to Andy Lee as well, who's, I believe, was the victim of a mugging or something of that description during the trip to Wembley. I had his wallet, I think, pinched. So Andy, I hope you're okay after that experience. So yeah, let's go into unravel the game against Sheffield Eagles. Sheffield, really good value for their win in the end. A massively disappointing day for Widnes and for Widnes fans. I mean, there must have been 5,000-6,000 Widnes fans there, probably 10 times as many Widnes fans as Sheffield fans. And just such a disappointing way to end something that had been built up so massively by the club. It's difficult to know where to start. I'll start we'll start at the beginning, shall we? That always makes sense. Jordan Johnson's injury, massive blow for Widnes to lose him 4 minutes in. Suspected fractured eye socket, I think it's been told. I'm being told he got taken to hospital. Massive shame for him as well. Could very well be his last ever appearance for Widnes. He's going to Hull, of course, next season. But I think as much as you can't legislate for a serious injury, I think it was a massive mistake not to have an interchange hooker on the bench. I said it ahead of the semi-final against Lee. I thought it was a big gamble to not have a hooker on the bench against Lee. They got away with it that day. Johnson, of course, got sin-binned early doors in that game. They got away with it. Ash Orbot was an unused sub against Lee, but it made no sense to me. I think without an interchange hooker on the bench, you're just setting yourself up for a fall. And we saw that yesterday. You know, with Johnson, as soon as he went off, Widnes were in a right old mess. Brad Walker went in at hooker. I thought Brad Walker had a decent game. They tried putting Keenan Brand there in the second half for a spell, which was, I presume, to get Walker's hands on the ball in a playmaking position rather than at dummy half. But yeah, I've got to say, I think the decision not to run with an interchange hooker was a massive mistake. You could almost argue that St. Helens had that same thing. I think they'd have benefited from having James Bentley on the bench in their game. You know, and it's not as if Widnes don't have any hookers available. I mean, Ganson and Dugdale, both capable of playing. And I thought for Sheffield, I thought James David had a good game. And they've got quite a few players who are busy around the ruck. You could see that Sheffield were making lots of yards off quick play of the balls, and Widnes just didn't have anything like that in the game after Johnston went off. Of course, Widnes started well, 12-0 up, two very good tries, it has to be said. I really liked the move by Arvan, good offload into Harrison Hansen, and at 12-0 you thought, oh well, actually maybe Widnes are going to coast through this game. Maybe the players thought that as well, I'm not too sure. Sheffield, of course, hit back, disappointing the first try. The second try was, of course, a nonsense decision by the referee. Thackeray pinched the ball in a two-man tackle, went the distance. But, you know, even with that, a disappointing response, it has to be said, from Widnes. Did take the lead into half-time at 18-12. Tom Gilmore, who was one of the controversial picks, chosen ahead of Lyons. I thought Gilmore had a fair game. I think he played okay. He set up the second try for Christine. Or rather, he put Ted Chapelow through the gap to set up Christine. 18-12 half-time, you never really expected what was to come in the second half. To lose a half 24-0 in a final is embarrassing. You know, there's no hiding away from that. I don't care what excuses anyone's got. To lose the second half of a final 24-0 is embarrassing. The way that some of the tries that Sheffield scored were embarrassing. Some of the waiting around, walking around, not getting back was embarrassing. Massively disappointing. I mean, obviously it got off to a bad start with the try early in the second half, but Widnes just didn't come out at all. And when you consider the amount of flack that, you know, even Dennis Betts probably wouldn't have managed a 24-0 in a final. I think massively disappointing. If you can't get the players up to perform in the second half of a final at Wembley, I mean, there's got to be massive questions asked. Jaden Hatton, of course, made some unfortunate errors, and that is another controversial move as well. I think you've got to look there. Three decisions that Kieran Pirtle made in terms of not running an interchange hooker, Tom Gilmore playing, and Ryan Ince being dropped or Hatton being preferred. I think you could maybe make the argument that Gilmore was okay, but the other two decisions have really come back to bite him. Ryan Ince, I understand, stormed out of the club last week. May well not play for Widnes again. So, disappointing all round, that one. And, you know, Hatton, young lad playing at Wembley, couple of mistakes. You know, it's certainly not his fault, but again, a very disappointing day all round. It was a very tough drive home, and I'm sure other people will agree, and I know there was some capers on coaches and stuff like that people will know more about than me. But I think a massive concern has to be that so much focus was put on this game. I mean, the results over the past however many months have been poor, mediocre at times, certainly away from home. I think obviously the only one we've won in the last couple of months was the semi-final against Lee. I think the only game we've won since the middle of June or the start of June was Rochdale at home. So to say that this season has almost been written off for this cup final, and then to get to the cup final and perform so poorly is very disappointing, very worrying. I tweeted last night that I think there's a massive issue. Yeah, I understand 6 months ago we were in administration. I understand the players weren't paid. I understand staff weren't paid. And then everything was resolved. And I understand it was a tough time, but we've got to get over that now. It's, 6 months has passed, and there's no room for sympathy or sentiment in sport. And I think this attitude has got to change now. It almost feels like the club's providing a community service, or the players and staff are providing a community service. They're not. These are professional people. They're professional people, professional sports people, working in sport or playing in sport. And I think the performances that have been served up by Widnes as a club over the past couple of months have been unacceptable, in my opinion. I think to lose, you look at Sheffield, we talk about, we've had all these special measures and we've had all these ifs, whys, buts, whatever. Even from a standing start, there's no way you can legislate for a club the size of Widnes with a fan base and the resource that Widnes have got to be so comprehensively outplayed by, with all due respect, Sheffield. You know, they've got what? They had what, 400, 500 fans there? They play at basically a glorified park. And yeah, I understand there was no sponsorship money, I understand there was no season ticket, but we still got all them players. All the players that are in that Widnes squad should be capable. I understand it's a young team as well, but there was plenty of experience in that team. You've got Jack Owens, you've got Patrick Arvine, you've got Chris Dean, you've got Harrison Hanson, you've got Hep Kale, you've got Danny Craven, you've got Tom Gilmore. There was enough experience in that team yesterday to serve up a better performance than what we saw. So, ultimately very disappointing. And of course, don't like criticising, but I think got to be a reality check now. There's a serious amount of work that needs to be done. Is the club capable of doing it? We'll have to wait and see. We'll just have to see what happens. I thought the atmosphere was weird. I don't know if I'd like to hear some people's thoughts on this. I thought the atmosphere was very weird. Of course, there was what, 6,000-7,000 people in a 90,000 stadium, so of course it was. But I just feel that intensity and the way the crowd got behind the team at Lee, you just couldn't replicate that at Wembley because of the size of it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that the 1895 Cup Final should have been the curtain raiser to the Challenge Cup Final, but of course, that was a BBC request for it not to be like that. I was a bit disappointed as well. There was no replays in the ground on the big screen. That was a bit frustrating. Probably a good job, really, because there probably would have been a riot had the Thackeray try been replayed. On the subject of Thackeray, of course, former Widnes player, I mean, it couldn't have gone much more wrong for Widnes yesterday. I mean, Warrington won the cup final. They were nilled in the second half. A former player gets man of the match. I mean, you know, how many different things do you want it to go around? I think Thackeray, I've always been of the opinion, I thought he was hard done to when he was released by Widnes in 2011. I always thought he was worth a stab in Super League, especially when you consider how bad we were in that first year in Super League. Of course, he's not played in Super League since, so you could maybe make the argument that the right decision was made. I know he has had offers, but it's just tallying that up to being part-time. He's been a great player in the Championship. I think the most frustrating thing for me about Anthony Thackeray was we played Sheffield 3-4 weeks ago and the exact same thing happened. So why wasn't an instruction put in to, you know, target Thackeray, nobble Thackeray, whatever you want to do, just to get him off? I don't think Widnes put a hand on him the whole game. You know, contrast that to the Saints-Warrington match where you saw Jack Hughes follow Johnny Lomax round like a shadow throughout the game. And I just think that's really poor that Widnes have played Sheffield 3 or 4 weeks ago and we've seen exactly the same thing happen. Very disappointed with that. Thackeray completely outplayed both Craven and Gilmore. Thought Craven was non-existent. You know, just massively disappointed all round. But yeah, enough on that. Before I go into, I'm going to talk about some other things. But first, let's hear what Kieran Pirtle had to say. He spoke with Adrian Jackson after the game. Here's what the Widnes Vikings head coach, his reaction to that game.
Kieran Pirtle, pretty disappointing in the end of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, first of all, I think full credit to Sheffield that second half. They were superb. You know, everything that they touched and everything they worked on, you know, it came off. The first 25 minutes, we only touched the ball seven times in that second half, and it just gassed us. And you know, we had some guys who were busted there at half time. We were cupped a few injuries early on, you know, and ultimately in the second half, we just didn't come out of the blocks, and Sheffield did, and they got the rewards in the end.
You mentioned the guys who were busted. What happened to Jordan Johnson?
Yeah, he's took a bit of a whack, bit of friendly fire, really. He's caught a bit of something from Epping. He's gone off to hospital for checks, and you know, hopefully he'll be all right. Yeah, it was, you know, that probably losing him, you know, obviously knocks us round a little bit. He's been superb all year. But we're probably in a disappointed state at the moment. You know, we've got some boys in there who've worked really hard. You know, we're disappointed in the result. But, you know, I think when we sit back and reflect on the year, we've still got to, you know, hold our heads up and see where we've come from. You know, we were nearly out of existence. And, you know, today we've got to run out at Wembley and not many people do that. And, you know, for our fans, again, who've turned up in fantastic numbers, you know, I just hope they've all a fantastic day and, you know, they've been loud and sung and followed us everywhere. And, you know, we need to keep that going now and, you know, get survival sorted in the league, then look to next year.
First half looked pretty solid, had your noses in front. Where do you think it went wrong second half?
Yeah, I thought first half we were. You know, obviously they just lacked a little bit of attention near try line. They got over and then, you know, a bit of a loose ball and Thackeray's done it again and picked it up and gone nearly full length. And you know, we said at half time that, you know, we're going all right here. We just needed to tidy a couple of areas up. I think from a coaching point of view, I just look at that first set after half time and they rolled us nearly, you know, 65, 70 metres from a kickoff and they just come out with a bit more intent than what we did and get some field position and they got on a roll and then we couldn't get it back. You know, and when you're out there and your energy's getting sapped, it's a lonely place as well at times.
Certainly is. And when you were chasing the game as well, they were trying things that just weren't on, weren't they?
Yeah, that happens. You know, we were desperate towards the end to try and do something and yeah, we obviously lost a few people in position-wise with JJ not being there and then we were throwing the ball around and not really going forward and creating any ruck speed. We were just going a little bit lateral and, you know, ultimately we ran out of gas at the end and, you know, I said fair credit to Sheffield. They were excellent today and, you know, fully deserve the win and, you know, lifting the trophy.
We didn't get the win we were hoping for, but was that a good experience for the guys?
it's a massive experience, you know. I want to mention before from where we've actually come from. You know, ultimately we'd have loved to go on and win it and get our name on that trophy, and you know, that would have been superb for everyone. But we've got a lot of young guys in there, and you know, what a great experience for those guys. And we've got to look at occasions like that. Some of those players out there are the future of the club, and they'll gain masses from that, and you know, hopefully take that into next year.
Kind of dust ourselves down now and go for it against Swinton next week.
Yeah, we have. You know, that's the reality. It's, you know, that's done and dusted now. It's over. You know, Wembley weekend, we've got to put that on the back burners. We've got to turn up next week, and you know, playing at home, we've got to be good next week. And Swinton will be sniffing some blood. They'll be talking about all the energy we've wasted today and the busted bodies, and you know, we've lost a game, and they'll be coming to try and get the win. But we're playing at home, and we have to be good at home. And you know, ultimately, we need to try and put two winning performances together to put us on good stead for next year.
Wasn't the result we were hoping for, but it was great to see Widnes at Wembley.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, the fans, I said, superb, the fans. What a great day out for all them. I think, you know, you look at all them, regardless of the result at the end of the day there, they've had a fantastic day out. We've been to Wembley, and probably in February, no one would ever have dreamed would have been going to Wembley, and probably not been in existence at one point. So, you know, those guys deserve a day out. We're just disappointed we didn't give them a win today.
So those were the thoughts of Kieran Pirtle. Thanks to Adrian Jackson, as normal, for providing that post-match audio. Of course, you can. There's stuff on the official club website as well, where Pirtle's given his reaction as well. Some interesting points in there. Widnes touched the ball 7 times, I think he said, in them first sort of the first half of the second half. If that makes sense. So, you know, really telling statistic. I think one of the impressive things about Kieran Pirtle is his analytical nature and the way he does look at things like that. And you have to give a bit of, I know I've been critical of him in this episode, but I think you've got to have a bit of sympathy with him. He's doing everything on his own. I think we saw an uplift when Corey Patterson was helping him, and I think if maybe he had an assistant coach throughout the season, I think we may have seen a lot different, you know, a lot of difference in the Widnes performances. It must be a lonely place for him managing those players on his own. So hopefully that is something we'll see a noticeable uplift next season. You know, it's nice what you said about the fans and stuff, but I still think there's a little bit of a soft nature about the comments about, oh, we were playing at Wembley and it was great to run out. Yeah, great. Yeah, it's great to be running out of Wembley, but that, you know, you're not just there for a day out. You're there to win the cup final and win the trophy. So I think needs to be more ruthless Widnes. I think they need to get rid of this soft belly that they seem to have got and try and be a bit more ruthless, and hopefully we'll see that next season. Hopefully the 1895 Cup will remain next season, and hopefully Widnes will give it a good go next season. I wanted to move on and just, you know, I want to get all my whinges out in one episode, if you know what I mean. I'm on my own, and I know people don't like it when I'm on my own, but it's Sunday morning, post-Wembley. Everyone's got the post-Wembley blues. I just wanted to, I don't know how other people, I'd be interested to hear on how other people felt. I just didn't get excited at all during the week. I wasn't excited. I wasn't built up or anything like that to go to Wembley. And obviously, it was almost like I knew that something was going to go wrong. And I've made a list here of sort of my list of Widnes woe. So for anyone who's my age or younger, so I'm 31. So anyone who's in the 20s or early 30s, not really got a great deal of good things to remember. So obviously we had the 2004 skirmish with relegation, the 2005 relegation, 2006 we were very poor. Everyone expected us to bounce straight back up. We should have been one of the favourites. We were basically also rans for much of the season in third behind Hull KR and Lee. We got tonked a couple of times by both of those teams. We never really competed in the grand final. In 2006, I should say. In 2007, of course, we were a lot better, and that was probably, well, one of my favourite years watching Widnes, but then absolutely choked the grand final, never even competed. And then, of course, the day after, we went into administration. 2008, the post-administration year, I thought that was an okay year. Got into the playoffs, would have been third without the points deduction, but, of course, overshadowed by the not getting into Super League licensing announcement in 2008. I did think the club made some poor decisions at the end of 2008 in terms of recruitment, let go of a few players that they should have kept, and I think that contributed to a poor start the following year, which of course resulted in a coaching change. 2009 was the Northern Rail Cup final year, actually. The only time, probably the only good thing that I've got noted here. So I've now seen Widnes in five finals. They've lost four. I missed the 2007 Northern Rail Cup. I was on holiday. So the 2009 Northern Rail Cup final against Barrow is my only taste of final winning, final victory watching Widnes. 2010, we had that terrible day in Blackpool against Batley, the 25-24. 2011, great because we got the licensing, we got the Super League license, but a very poor season all around in the Championship. Really poor. We finished sixth that year, I think. Some very poor showing. Didn't really build up into Super League very well. And of course, the first year in Super League, we were appalling. 2013-2016, I think looking back now, I think we did okay in those years. Yeah, of course there was some disappointing, you know, results in them four seasons, but I know there's not many Dennis Betts fans out there, but when you consider the context he was operating in, I think if you look back now, he did a fair job in those 4 years. We were fairly stable in Super League, never really threatened with relegation. After, you know, obviously the first year there wasn't any relegation anyway, but even in the 3 years that followed, we were never really under pressure for relegation. Got in the playoffs 1 year as well. And then it just started to unravel a little bit. 2016, we had that brilliant start to the season that then petered out. We never built on that. And then 2017, survived relegation with that win in Catalan, which is up there as one of my best memories of watching Widnes. But then, of course, 2018, relegated. And then this year has just been, my colleague who was with me at Wembley yesterday described the year as ugly for Widnes this year. And I think it's very much going to go down in history as an ugly year. To start the season in administration, and to go into administration, fans, you know, probably the only positive is the fans, the way the fans have rallied round and raised all that money. But the problem is if the club can't move itself forward, then that goodwill from the fans and, you know, that support from the fans is going to wane again. You know, there's probably no other group of fans in rugby league that are as invested in their club as Widnes fans have been this year. And certainly next year has got to be an improvement on what we've seen this year. So I hope you had a good day at Wembley anyway. I hope you enjoyed the trip to London. I hope you got back safe. I hope your head's not too sore this morning. If you're listening on Sunday, you mean you might make a weekend of it. You might be listening on Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support as always. Thanks to sponsors, Musical All Sorts, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management and Deals the Jewellers. I'm hoping to be back weekly now, you'll be pleased to know. It's a lot easier doing them audio than video. It cuts down on my editing time considerably. Hoping to have some guests on in the coming weeks. Got a few people lined up. Please do share, like, send me a message on Twitter, send me a message on the forum, and I'll see you very soon.